From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In recent years, Sacramento County has been at the center of a heated debate over jail expansion, incarceration, and what truly makes communities safe. One group that has been at the forefront of that conversation is Decarcerate Sacramento. Formed in 2019 by local residents impacted by incarceration, the coalition has worked to reduce jail populations, stop jail expansion projects, and push for investments in community care over punishment. They also operate a jail hotline and track the county's compliance with the federal Maze Consent Decree. That's a legal agreement to improve jail conditions in Sacramento County. Joining us now are Decarcerate Sacramento Advocacy Director Liz Bloom Gutierrez and organizer Carrie Hamilton. Welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having us.
Well, Liz, I want to start with you. For those who are unfamiliar, what is Decarcerate Sacramento? How'd you get started?
Well, you covered a little bit of it. We started in 2019 in response to a planned expansion for the Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center. And about 5 months after forming, we successfully canceled that jail expansion project. And since 2019, we've stopped all jail expansion projects in Sacramento County.
Some may be wondering why.
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of reasons. At the time in 2019, our county was facing budget cuts. We're also facing a huge budget deficit right now. And sinking more dollars into our jail system does take money away from things that prevent harm, prevent crime in our communities. And that's really at the core of why we do what we do.
Personally, what motivated you to be part of this work?
Well, about a decade ago when my sibling was incarcerated after a mental health crisis, that's what really pushed me to make this my life's work. And I think just every day I'm motivated by just the ongoing human rights abuses that we see in Sacramento County jails.
I mean, that clearly was a formative experience for you. What did it teach you?
Oh, I think it really just taught me that jails are not a tool that make our communities safer. They really traumatize, re-traumatize, and you know, deepen the harm that is happening in our communities. So that's what my family experienced.
Yeah. Is there a balance for you between, you know, the harm that incarceration has caused your family and then also criminal justice and the aspect of victims receiving justice for crimes that happened to them?
Absolutely. While I've had a loved, family member incarcerated, I've also lost family members to murder. I've also experienced harm myself. And so I'm definitely not a stranger to this conversation and, you know, this struggle that we deal with every day of how to address harm in our communities. I think at the core of this problem is that, you know, showing up after harm has already happened, after you've already lost a loved one, is not what we need. And there, you know, if prisons and jails made us safer, I mean, California has set the world record for prison building and jail building. And if they made us safer, we'd be the safest place in the world. And we're not.
Carrie, I want to turn to you. Tell us about your role as an organizer with Decarcerate Sacramento.
So I've been an organizer with Decarcerate Sacramento for about a year and a half. I came into organizing with Decarcerate Sacramento because I was a pretrial detainee from 2014 to 2017 in the Sacramento County Main Jail. And the reason why I organize is to continue to let people know that the Maze Consent Decree is something that, for those that are inside, need to have the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department follow. And why I say that is because of some of the failures that I saw while I was in there.
What is a pretrial detainee for those who don't know?
So a pretrial detainee is somebody that is been incarcerated, but they are being detained until they go to trial or until they are convicted of a crime.
I mean, obviously that experience shaped your work with Decarcerate Sacramento, as you just laid out. What is something that you want people to better understand about jail conditions?
So I'm going to just give you an example of one of the jail conditions that we want to bring to light is that the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department is responsible for care. And so while you're in there, you're in a cell, and there's a button that you can push whenever you need help. And that button, when you push, is needless to say, they just don't respond. So it's commonplace for the jail staff to just ignore it. And when you need help, you're begging them for help. One of the examples that I'll give you is one of my friends was bleeding. Her roommate is like, look, she's bleeding to death. She fell off the, she fell off of the toilet. And we could not get her any help. And the jail staff is looking at her like, you're still alive. You're still breathing. You're fine. That button was pushed many days in a row. And so we all actually came up with a plan to give her milk cartons and have her milk cartons stored, the blood, so that they could show that there was enough blood so that the jail staff could get her to medical, because it is the jail staff that holds that key for you to be able to be seen by medical. And between that time, they will tell you to put in a kite, and a kite is just a written note that says, here, go ahead and write this kite, put it in the mailbox, and then you'll get a date to go see a medical nurse to even look to see if you need to go to a doctor. So this could take a week.
These experiences that you laid out, were they prior to the Mace consent decree or after?
So in 2014, I'll just put down that the Mace consent decree actually started reviewing things all the way back to 2014. So in 2019 is when the lawsuit started, and then the Mace consent came into place in 2020. But all of the concerns actually started in 2014 on. And that's when the conditions that are in there are horrific. And it continues to be commonplace that is continued to be seen by the staff that's going in there to look through the jail conditions and making them in compliance with the consent.
Okay. Well, the Mace consent decree, that's for listeners who are unaware, that's a settlement from a 2018 federal class action lawsuit, which sought improvements to conditions in both of the county jails, the downtown facility, as well as Rio Cosumnes Correctional Center, RCCC. The lead plaintiff was Lorenzo Mays. He spent more than 8 years incarcerated. He was never convicted of a crime or tried. He had an intellectual disability. And this was the compliance that the county is now trying to follow stems from a settlement that was reached six years ago. So, Liz, how significant was this federal order to current operations and conditions at the jail?
This class action lawsuit is very significant, and we want to see this consent decree be met. People continue to die on almost a monthly basis, and prematurely. We also know that from the beginning, the county has been thinking of building their way out of this consent decree, which is just not possible. A new building will not meet the terms. There's nowhere in the consent decree that mentions the need for a new building. There's over 400 requirements, and only a few of those have to do with the physical structure of the building. So it's mainly about the use of solitary confinement, which falls with the sheriff's staff, suicide prevention measures, which again, largely sheriff staff decision making, disability rights, medical care, and mental health care.
Okay. Well, I want to get into that a little bit, because we did have Sacramento County Sheriff Jim Cooper on the show back in March, and we talked about this briefly as part of a wider ranging conversation. And he did say in that interview that he only controls 20% of staffing in the jails, that the other 80% is the County Department of General Services. So when it comes to adult correctional health, medical, he's not in control of hiring or firing. So how does that impact complying with the decree, or do you see it differently?
he may not be in control of hiring or firing, but he is the gatekeeper for medical care, as Carrie was explaining. In order for someone to access medical care or mental health care, sheriff staff, custody staff within the jail have to physically take them to their appointments. There's one case that's recorded in one of the court monitoring reports. There's many of them now that documented a pregnant woman being prevented from being not taken to her appointment as a form of punishment because she was allegedly in a fight the prior day. So there's the withholding of medical care is a normal occurrence in the jails, because at the end of the day, we have to remember that jails are managed by the sheriff's department. So this idea that he doesn't have control over access to care is really just not true.
And he did acknowledge safety issues at the jail when we had this conversation. He's also relatively new as Sacramento County Sheriff. He was elected in November of 2022. The May's consent decree was during the time of former Sheriff Scott Jones. Sheriff Cooper, in some respects, can be viewed as a departure. He was a Democrat in the state legislature. He's a former state lawmaker. He is the first Black sheriff in Sacramento County. He has deep ties to Sacramento, former Elk Grove mayor, and was a sheriff's deputy before elected office. Is he a departure from former leadership, in your perspective?
Frankly, since he took office, we've seen jail conditions worsen. And one example of that is he got rid of paper mail. No one inside can receive paper mail anymore. They have to access their mail from loved ones and from organizations like ours through a tablet that they most of the time don't have access to. Again, that access is controlled by custody staff instead of just having the paper from, you know, your child or loved one's mail. And that mail is then destroyed or deleted after 90 days. So that's one example. And then there's numerous examples we hear from our jail hotline of just very different jail conditions under Jim Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, he even acknowledged, you know, when it came to overdoses at the facility, we talked about that. You know, he acknowledged that there were drugs being smuggled into the jail. They did an investigation. He used one example of a nurse smuggling drugs in. There was a fentanyl overdose, and that has dropped dramatically since the arrest of that nurse. I mean, from what I'm hearing from you, I mean, I think you would have some disagreements, but given that he is the relatively new sheriff, is there any alignment on issues or solutions or any, I guess, collaboration? Or I don't even know if the two of you even, as organizations, talk or work together.
I would welcome that. I would say also related to the overdose conversation, there's been letters that are publicly available sent from May's Plaintiff's Counsel to the county urging the Sheriff's Department to search his own staff. And, you know, he has said himself that he doesn't pick and choose which laws he gets to follow. And yet he in public letters has flat out refused to search his own staff. And there's national studies that show that that custody staff are sometimes part of the problem. So that's confusing to me as to why he would just refuse to do that if, you know, and overdose deaths are continuing since that arrest of the nurse. So
you're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Liz Bloom Gutierrez and Carrie Hamilton of Decarcerate Sacramento about jail conditions in Sacramento County and their work to push for alternatives to incarceration. So in terms of the jail expansions, those have been suspended by the County Board of Supervisors. The Sheriff's Office also supports suspending that as well. What do solutions look like from the perspective of Decarcerate Sacramento to improve conditions inside the jail? And yeah, for the people who are incarcerated inside.
Right. The consent decree says many times that the most efficient and effective way to improve jail conditions is jail population reduction. That's stated over and over again in the May's consent decree. So the primary way that we think this is possible is pretrial justice reform, because we know 80% of people in our county jails are being held pretrial. That means they have not been convicted of a crime and they have the constitutional right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Unfortunately, that's not happening. And there's two recent court decisions I want to mention because they're frankly not being followed right now by our county court system. That's the Humphrey decision from 2021, which was across California, which said that you have to consider someone's ability to pay bail when setting their pretrial release conditions. And the Welchin v. Bonta case, which was just finalized in 2023, which found Sacramento County's bail schedule or bail amounts to be unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And so the county is not, in our opinion, not following these laws. And if they were, we believe that the jail population would be smaller.
Mm. So even with those issues and those court decisions aside, what would you say to the view that there aren't enough resources present to prevent reoffending and recidivism, and that if you start with reducing the jail population without adequate community resources, won't that just increase crime?
So a couple things. So one is I want to talk about mental health diversion, because there actually are resources in our county. A lot of counties don't have mental health diversion programs like we do. And, you know, there's a lot of misinformation about mental health diversion out there. I have a loved one in mental health diversion right now, actually. And it's a very powerful public safety tool to address the root cause of whatever brought that person to be arrested in the first place. The legislator passed that for a reason. You know, that was, it's been very successful. Unfortunately, I think, you know, we have some county leaders who are trying to dismantle that right now in the state legislature. But that connects, that takes people who are pretrial, diverts them out of jail, connects them to mental health care programs that they're in for at least a year. They have very strict requirements to get the help that they need. And that is keeping our community safer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We only have about a minute or so left. And Carrie, I want to end with you. What do you want the community to keep in mind when thinking about crime and criminal justice? What's missing from the conversation?
Well, I think that the biggest point that I want to bring across is that the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department has a failure to those that are inside. And being that I was a pretrial detainee, the entire time that I was there, I was treated as if I was guilty of a crime. And so that is not, 80% is pretrial. And I feel that the community needs to understand that the sheriff needs to take better care of the people that are inside and actually look at giving it a safer place. One of the things we didn't bring up was the ADA compliancy that the Mays consent really is pointing out. They've been given funding for that. So that is something that if they would just put grab bars so that people aren't falling down in the showers, and just acknowledge that people, when they need the help, that they get them the care that they need.
Yeah. Carrie and Liz, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
That was Liz Bloom Gutierrez and Carrie Hamilton with Decarcerate Sacramento. They're part of a community coalition advocating to improve jail conditions, reduce incarceration, and shift public funding towards care-based alternatives in Sacramento County. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.